been like if I had not been taught by my grandparents? What would it have been like if I hadn't taught by my mother? What would have been would it have been like for you trustees if you hadn't had the daddy you had? And it makes me very, very thankful for everything God's given me. And I ask myself, what is the greatest gift God gave you? And I would say life. What kind of life? Eternal life. How did he give it to you? By grace. Through faith. And I go back a lot of times and I think about all the things in my youth. And what I learned as God taught me, both by action and by problems and by troubles, when I was young and when I was older. And this time of year, I'm so thankful. I just am tremendously thankful. And it may seem to you that, maybe I talk a little bit too much about this sometimes. But, they taught me the doctrine of landmarkism when I was still lost. And I understood it. I mean, I understood what it meant. I understood that it meant that somebody came in to and moved the landmarks, spread them out on the end of two property sections. Every year they'd go in there and do it because some of them lived on the same site all their lives. And as they grew older, nobody paid much attention. But they weren't walking with God. Did God bother them about that? I'm sure he did. And I'm sure they did the same thing I did when I had to go to church because there wasn't anybody to make me go. So if I went, it had to be voluntary. I'm so thankful that God kept me in the faith, because you could have gone either way. And it makes me this time of year, more than anything else, to be grateful. They talked a lot about the kingdom when I was a young man. I had one thing in my mind when I went in there. What am I going to get out? And that was what prevailed in my mind. But nevertheless, I sat there. And as I sat there and he talked about this kingdom, he caught my curiosity. He catches a lot of people's curiosity after he saves them. But a lot of people are interested in continuing to live forever. And so when you believe, you can rejoice just as soon as you find out you can't lose it. And pretty soon, walking in it, when you're young, there are a lot of other things you want to do. Some of the greatest Christians in the history of Christianology came out of horrible families. And some of the worst came out of really good families. I've heard the scripture quoted many times. And I taught it that way because that's the way I was taught when I was growing up. And I'm not trying to blame somebody else. I just wasn't that interested, to tell you the truth. When the Lord said, bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. The Hebrews used that to teach their children and to teach the other people and to teach the other Hebrews. There's coming a time when you won't have somebody there to reinforce you all the time. I'll be the only one you've got. And you better learn about me while you still have a father to teach you, a mother to teach you, brothers and sisters that are saved, that are walking in Christ. And you better wake up. You better wake up. So God kept bothering me and bothering me and bothering me. And I went from door to door with a preacher, Baptist preacher. And it would give me a temporary, I call it a fix, a temporary fix. And after I went out and knocked on all those doors with this little Baptist preacher, I felt better, felt a lot better. But there was still something missing in my life. And I have to be honest and tell you, the reason it was missing is because I was interested in a lot more things than what was going to happen in a temple. And I didn't even know there were two temples when I was young, when I was 7 or 8. But that invoked my curiosity. And God used that invoking of my curiosity to keep me in the faith for a long time. That scripture means that if you'll raise up a child, and this is very important to understand, it's important to understand why. Back then they didn't have malls. They didn't have specialties. They didn't have bicycles. They didn't have anything they had to fix. It was all natural and stuff that they would make. And so if a man was a baker, where'd he learn it? From his father. And when his father taught him, it meant that he would be a baker all of his life. And so that's what it means. Now, you don't have to teach it that way. You can just teach the principle of it, and you can apply the principle of it, and it does apply to if your parents taught you, if you were in church when you were young. For most, that's what drives them back. But I'm so glad I learned these things. I'm so glad that God taught me, and I'm so glad that when I go along for some time and suddenly discover I was wrong, I don't mind admitting it. Only God understands everything. So here we are sitting in a church building. It's raining a little bit outside. That should stop before morning. Famous last words. And here we are, and I don't want to know what you're thinking. Because I remember some of the things I used to think. And I'm so ashamed of it now. But I had one desire, and I was saved, genuinely. I had been led to repentance toward God and to put my faith, my trust in Jesus Christ. So God had prepared me through a whole bunch of people, and I didn't know it. And when you get to be my age, one day you'll look back on some of those things and you'll remember them. Max Tate died young, but he was a Christian. I used to go down to his house, and he had a organ or hand. Huh?
Accordion.
And he used to play the double eagle. I loved that double eagle. He could play that. I hope it's not a nasty song. But I made a lot of good friends, and as I made those friends, God just kind of sent them along. And I got them to talking about what they believed, and we'd talk back and forth. But God always sent them to me. Now, I'm not saying that's the way it's always supposed to be. I'm sure there are people in this church, I know there are people in this church that are excellent witnesses. And I believe God teaches people that in the church. If you ever come to understand with tenacity, and God's the only one that can really teach you this. Usually in a seminary, when you start discussing these things about the rapture, about things of that nature, you get an argument out in the hall. And it leads to a lot of conflict. The truth of the matter is, they're saved, they go to heaven. But they do not stay long in close contact with him in services, in serving him in one of his local churches. If he led you to repentance toward him, and if you accepted Christ as your Savior, it's pretty easy at first. And usually that happens in your childhood. And your parents who love you very much. I try to never tell parents how to raise children. I just teach this. You can figure it out for yourself. For me, it was grandparents. And it was a loving mother, and I know who I am. I know what I am. I've learned about roots. And so every time that I get a little concerned, I just get over it right quick. I hope you've noticed that, I am a very good meteorologist. I'm sorry, but I'm not bragging. I really am. I've got all kind of awards covering my whole office room. I used to. I finally took them down. And I made E9, which is the highest rank you can make in enlisted ranks. And one of the reasons I did it was because I needed to feed my family. But as I was going along and studying, I think I know what it means when in James, when he says that Abraham became the friend of God. I know God better now than I've ever known him since he used to convict me. Before I was ever saved, I know him better now than I've ever known him. And I have roots. They're real. I understand more scripture than I ever understood before in my life. And God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit have taught me one God teaching me in three different offices. Well, it's Thanksgiving. All I remember much about Thanksgiving is we wouldn't have chicken. I'd load us up on chickens, wringing their head off, watching them run around the yard until they bled to death. And then next day we'd eat them. We skinned them. We didn't skin them. Because that's what I learned from Tud George. And we were afraid that if they ever saw how y'all skin chickens down here, we always just boiled them in a big black pot, and we picked the feathers out. And it wasn't me; it was their loving mother. She was so afraid those kids wouldn't ever, eat a chicken again if we went. So we found out where they had some gay chickens. Tud George told me, if you want to know what a gay chicken is, it's just a gay chicken. And they don't have a comb. It's a male chicken, but it doesn't have a comb. And this fellow out at by Tud, when he got about 50 or 60 of them, he'd sell them. And he'd call me, and I'd go out there, and I'd skin them. So I finally talked Imogene to letting me take her out there. So Imogene went out to protect her. And I took the chicken by the head. I held it out over the ground. Oh, on a block, actually. And I took this big old sharp knife, held my hand way back, and I went, whoa! Blood flew all over everywhere. And so Imogene and I both looked around at poor little April, and she said, do it again, Dad. Do it again, Daddy. So different things affect people different ways. But you can tell when God's working on someone, and when the person wants to do what God wants. And it's not always really completely plain what it is that God wants. It's not God's fault. He may be training you slowly. He may think you need to learn something else first. I finally just get up in the morning and I pray about it and I start looking. I think about it. And then I start. As I go through, I can see where I learned something myself that I didn't know. And then I'm anxious to share it with you. Now, there's a very simple formula. I talked about it before. A believer's unbelief. Sometimes it's easy to get the idea that once you're a believer, you're going to believe forever. I agree with that. You want me to do like Donald Trump and just preach without the word?
Thanks, dear.
If you want me to preach like Donald Trump, then just don't whistle, kid. A believer's unbelief. Someone that goes through the first process required. God's Holy Spirit convicts them, and then he points them to the Son, and the Son points to him, and then he puts his faith in Jesus Christ and believes in him. Well, sometimes it's possible in some of these scriptures to get the idea that you can never lose your salvation, that is, if you have it. Well, it's true, you can't lose your salvation. But it's not as easy as you think. You say, well, what do I have to do about that? Be patient. Are you afraid of going to hell? Are you afraid you didn't just say the right thing or do the right thing? Well, I tell you what, that bothered me the day after I got saved. But now look at me. Man, you couldn't blow me out of this thing. The only one could blow me out of this is the devil, and God's not going to let him. So this time of year, I'll go back home tonight, and I'll lay there, and I'll think about what I've learned from other preachers. Robert's real good about that. Robert always gives people credit. That's the sign of a mature Christian. It's a sign of someone that's growing toward maturity. And the men that taught him, I know every one of them. And they were very dedicated men. And they just, if they didn't understand something, they just say they didn't understand it. But if they told you they were sure this was the way it was, then Robert's learned it. It was that way. Well, I had a lot of those men in my past, and I was very thankful for them. And I asked God to help me to learn from them whatever he had taught them, if that suited his purpose. And lo and behold, it did. Now, here's what you're supposed to do. When God's Holy Spirit starts to draw you to Christ, then there'll come a time when you'll understand it and there'll be something that happens that you just, it's not irresistible. There is a relief that goes with it. And then after that, you're supposed to, when you understand this, you repent toward God and put your faith in Jesus for salvation. And it may come to you as a strange thing. Your father, your mother, they may have taught you this for years. But it's God that turns on the light. And it's God, when he turns on the light, he turns it on in your heart. And he is fulfilling the office of the Holy Spirit. That happened to me that night. And I was so thankful. I was so thankful. I had done everything I knew how to obey the commandments, and I was a miserable failure. Now, the next thing you want to do is, after you understand, get in one of his churches. I wish I had listened a lot more when I was sitting there just waiting to know how much longer are you going to go? And I would think, how much longer are you going to go? I'm sure you all have probably had the thought from time to time. But finally I began to understand that it was in the Word, and I understood that the Word was Jesus. And when I began to learn these things, I said, well, this is man, this looks great. And I began to go to church on my own. At that time, I'd grown up and enough to know to not have to have Papa Mac teach me this stuff all the time, or the pastor. They are saved and go to heaven, but do not stay long in much contact in serving him in one of his local churches. And this one was one that I used to teach this quite often, about the two spirits, or the two different natures that were in you, and why they were there. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. In Matthew 6:33-34, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Not the things you want, but the things God wants. He knows that you, he tells you to pray, and he makes it plain that he's convicting you. But this is where the devil does his greatest work. The thing the devil wants to do from the very beginning is to lead you away from God. And the thing that God wants from the very beginning is to lead you to Jesus. Because once you receive Jesus, the devil has a hard time rooting you out of him. He can't. He can't. But believe it or not, he can sure lead you to the wrong religious belief. And he can sure lead a lot of people astray. We've had people left this church, or people that I just told them, you're not going to join here. And they said, well, we'll let the congregation decide. I said, well, no, you can do that. I said, just come on down the aisle. I'm going to tell them exactly what you believe and what you are. So a lot of them have left before they ever came in. But I've been fooled. I have been thoroughly fooled, but it's not God's fault, it's mine. If I'm busy seeking the things of the kingdom of God, and he has two kingdoms, well, he's got a kingdom that you know about in the millennial age, and he's got one in the final heaven age. And what you want is his righteousness. Okay. How does that work? And being found in fashion as a man, you have to go all the way back to Genesis, the first chapter, go down to verse 26, and you find that the Lord says, let us, plural, make man, plural, make man after our image, in our blood flowing image. And you realize that God's plan was not to send you to hell by putting one hand over here and say, I'll send this one to hell and this one to hell. And then I'll send this one to hell and I'll send this one to hell. It doesn't work like that at all. What happens is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. You go to him and you ask him, and you're talking to God. And deliver us not into temptation, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. And you say, do you ever pray that? Oh, yeah. Do I pray it like something I've memorized? No. It's just something that I've thought something or said something and done something, and I think I may have offended another brother, or I may have caused another brother to think something in God's word that wasn't true. And so that's what I pray for, and that's what I want. The devil uses church members more to mislead other people than he does the world out there. Once you get roots, and I always picture carrots coming down because I like carrots. We used to grow some carrots. I don't know, you won't believe it. They're that long. I never saw anything in my life. You couldn't hardly pull one of those up. So if you stay in it long enough, you'll like it. Why do you think you like it? Because he first loved you. You couldn't even love till he formed Adam in the garden. And then afterwards, you didn't have any idea what love was until you began to surrender yourself to the will of the one who organized the church and pushed Judas out of it before he began to teach the church. So, some of the most spiritual people I've ever known are not seminary graduates. You don't have to go through a seminary. If you go through a seminary and then you begin to think highly of yourself because these poor clucks out there don't understand what I do, I never really felt that way, never. But I thought I was, you know, cut above the average bear, whatever an average bear is. It's a lot more fun to just let Jesus do the work. It's a lot more relaxing. It doesn't tear you up. So the first thing you've got to figure out is where should I go to church? And you begin to talk to God and say, Lord, if I'm in the right church, please let me know it. And if I'm not, please let me know it, and please let me understand it. Now, I knew about landmarkers. I knew what they did and what they believed. And I knew that Baptists didn't believe you could lose your salvation. I understood that. All Baptists are that way, or supposed to be. But I wanted a relationship with Jesus. I wanted to know him. I just wanted to be able to talk to him. Well, I was already able to do that. But one of the first things I learned, he doesn't talk to you except through his word and by his spirit. And when you come to the fact that he is the word, and you believe Jesus was the same yesterday, today, and forever, it really strengthens your faith. But your roots are growing, they're spreading out, God's doing the work, God's fighting off your enemies. Every once in a while, you'll want to just take a little vacation from all this and just have a good time, particularly when you're young. And I think the most important job that a father has is to be rooted in the faith, rejoice in it, and to learn to be thankful to God. This is Thanksgiving. I thank Papa, I thank the Lord for my mother and my, I thank him for my father too. Dad just, some men are born eunuchs and some men are not eunuchs. So when I pass the age of accountability, I know why Dad did what he did. And I forgave him. And I get to see him every once in a while. And my brothers, half-brothers, and my half-sister came down here, and you met them all at once. And so, you know, it would have been a nice thing if I had had a perfect daddy. But maybe I didn't need a perfect daddy. Oh, no, I'm not saying that caused my daddy to run off. I'm just saying that a lot of things that happen in your life, you don't know the real reason for them. And you don't really understand them. I'm not saying God made my father do that. Not by a long shot. But I'm saying God took advantage of it and taught me never to do that. Never. And my worst sin was after I surrendered to preach was joking about stuff. And, you know, and I try not to do that anymore. Why? Because I don't feel good about it when I do. And he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What he's been talking about there is what enough for you to survive. And maybe to have abundance. One place it says he'll give you a humongous inheritance. And I think that what we're talking about when we're talking about rewards, we're talking about how much of the inheritance will you get? Well, Jesus walked as a man. And that's what they were looking for, a Messiah that would lead them as the King of Israel, that was a direct descendant of David. And there was one. His name was Joseph. And so they Mary was in the line, and both of them met in Zechariah. Boom. And there's a lot of interesting things about Zechariah that apply to that. So I don't sweat much anymore about things. I consider the effect of the church on what I'm going to propose. And I always tell the Lord, ask the Lord, pray the Lord, that if I'm leading the church the wrong way, let me know before I do it. Because you need to have confidence in me. And there have been times in my ministry I haven't given you much reason to have confidence in me. It was difficult for me to actually come out and say that I loved you, because I knew I didn't love you enough, and there was some reason why. And I finally, after a couple of recent things happened lately, I love you. I agape you. I care what happens to you, and I care what happens to me. Now, I didn't have a daddy that taught me anything about much. But, you know, that's made a great impression on my life. So when I met your husband, your father, That made a great relation. That made a great impression on my life. I could see how God does things. I'm going to try not to mention anything else that ever happened between us before, because I love you, Chuck. But it was just so wonderful to see somebody that had a father that taught them the way he did it. You know, most people just thought your father wasn't very much. And I ran into, you know. You say, "You mean him?" I said, "Yeah." And I always bragged on your daddy, because if he preached for me here, I always asked for prayer for him. Or if he was going somewhere else, I'd ask for prayer for him. Because the love that God has, that he wants to develop a thanksgiving in your heart for it, is that he first loved you. The only reason you loved him was because he loved you first, and you had to love him back. And that's the measure. That is the measure of spiritual growth. I hope you all will always pray for me, because I've got I used to have a real bad temper. I tell you something, I'm scared it's still there. But God's been real good to me, I'm more interested in forwarding the kingdom of God, letting God do that. Me just be a little child and pray and ask him about these things. So this is Thanksgiving, and it's a very important time to me. And God has a way of, God does not reach out and say, "I'm going to save this one, I'm going to save this one, I'm not going to save this one, I'm not going to save this one." God already knows what you're going to do. He knows who's going to receive him or not. But I'll tell you how gracious God is. He goes ahead and gives you a chance. And believe me, it's a valid chance. And he convicts you. And if you keep turning him down and keep turning him down, goodbye. Goodbye. I've been to too many houses. Preachers always want me to go because they think I'm some kind of super intelligence or something, and I can save that old man. Lord, I've seen men, I'm not going to talk about it, but I've seen men that were ungodly. I never thought you could. I know I've seen demon possession. I know I've seen it. I never knew it was possible to make a sentence with cuss words. But I've come into a couple that do. And I kept going back every year. And finally the old man died. But the last time I was there, because Luther always had me out there to preach revivals. And he called and he asked me to come out and preach a revival. Luther Riddle, fine man, good Christian, good landmarker. And I went out there, and he told me about this old man. He said, "Would you go out with me?" And I said, "I worked on him for 8 years." And I said, "Okay, I'll go." Because I didn't want to give the impression I didn't care, but I've been around this type so many times. And I went out there, and that was the filthiest mouse old man. I think I even picked up some from him. I know I picked up some from Wilson Matthews, that was a football coach. He finally died. But the last time, I preached about 7 revivals out there. The last time I went, for the first time, he let me talk to him. He shut up. He was quiet. And I sat there dumbfounded. I talked to him, I don't know for how long, and his wife was standing there. I said, "How about giving us a little time here?" And she said, "Okay." She left. I got to talking to that old man. He listened to every word I said. And he just sat there. I finally said, "Well, what do you think?" He said, "Well, come back to see me next revival." Okay. He died before I got back out there for the next revival. I'm not telling you old wives' tales, but God will only go so far with a man. I've visited enough long ahead. And listen, I tell you why this is Thanksgiving. I tell you why these scriptures are Thanksgiving. What if God hadn't exposed me to this? What if God hadn't loved me enough to let those roots grow and fight off the devil? And why if God was, even after I was saved, God kept leading me. He never wrote me off. That's why I'm so happy that you landmarkers are down here. Because if anybody can understand it, a landmarker can. And that's somebody that puts the church above other things in his life. And that's someone who tries to do what God wants after he is saved by grace through faith, because he wants his children to grow up and be Christians and to walk like Christians. If I ever get so bad that I just can't pastor anymore, or you all want to get another pastor, I'd like to have a class full of kids in there, because I could talk to kids and they knew I wouldn't snitch on them unless it was important. But I want to serve God till I die. And it all begins in childhood. So whatever your granddaddy or your daddy or your mom teach you, you have no idea how much they love you. But you ask some of these others that are a little older than you are, ask them if they love their daddy. They will. You say, "Well, how'd you ever love your daddy?" "My daddy was just a sinner. And he wasn't a eunuch. I forgave him. I don't recommend it. I don't tell children that's right. But this, I tell you what kept me in the faith, the love of God. So, do you think your parents love you? You sure do, don't you? And sometimes you feel bad because you're not doing everything they want you to do. Don't get mad at them. They got enough problems. Just love them. And Thanksgiving here is a good time to tell them you love them. Tell them you're thankful that you're their child or you're their grandchild. And there was never any doubt in my mind that my mother and my Papa Mike and Theo, my grandparents, there's never any doubt that they loved me. What time is it?